Hello, my name is Josh McCarthy, and I want to welcome you to this edition of Hard Worka on the PTJG Broadcast Network. This show is dedicated to you, the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to some of the nation's most innovative companies, and he explores some of the career journeys behind some of the country's most influential individuals. And this is all done with an honest and oh-so-entertaining filter that is unique to Pete the Job Guy Langlois. Take it away, Pete.
Good morning, all you hard workers. Well, you did it. You yawned, you stretched, you got out of bed, and then you made one of the best decisions you're going to make all day. Now, what is that? Well, you're listening to Hard Worka with Pete the Job Guy. And as you heard Josh say, this show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. That's you. That's your family, your sisters, your brothers, uncle, cousin. All of us are in the workforce. We're intertwined one way, shape, or form. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know any trust fund babies that are just sitting around on a big, huge pile of $100 bills. They have so much money, they don't know what to do with it. They're just throwing it up in the air, lighting it on fire, because they don't care. That's not you. That's not me. We're in the workforce. We work, okay? So this show is designed to help you to be more effective and productive in your careers. And it's also dedicated to the workforce of tomorrow. That's your kids. That's the young folks that we want to help get them on the right path. And every week, I tell you, boy, I tell you where I messed up. I tell you where I have taken a left in my career where I should have taken a right. And I don't do this to beat myself up. I tell you these doggone things. I tell you what I did wrong. But more importantly, I tell you what you can do to stay on that right path and avoid some of the pitfalls and mistakes that I've made. And each week, I have some great weekly contributors. I have Coach Larry O'Brien. And Coach Larry O'Brien, every week, gives us a five-minute segment that helps managers to truly become effective leaders. And you know there's a big difference between a manager and a leader. I also have Boston Danny. And Boston Danny, each week, comes in and gives us an update on Boston. And that's kind of for my own edification. I like hearing what's going on in my home city. But Danny brags about his sports teams. But more importantly, what Danny does is gives shout-outs. So if you have someone in your life that you want to recognize, you want them, maybe they have a birthday, an anniversary, or a special event, or an accomplishment, Boston, you just send me an email, pete@petethejobguy.com, and I reach out to my good buddy, Boston Danny, and Boston Danny will recognize your special friend and give them a wicked piss of shout out like only Boston Danny can. So make sure you send me an email, pete@petethejobguy.com, and Boston Danny will give them a special shout out. And every week I have really great guests. And my guests are some of Jacksonville and beyond now. We have with the PTJG Broadcast Network, we're all over the place. We're international, for crying out loud. I got a listener in Germany that writes to me every time he listens to the podcast, and I love it. But each week I have some very influential people, and they share information about themselves, their careers, the wonderful organizations they represent, but they also give us tips to help us to become more effective or get us thinking. And today I want to talk to you about a couple of different things. First off, in my little monologue piece, I want to talk to you about adapting. And adapting is so important today, especially since everything that's gone on. Gosh, we use word like pivot. Everybody's pivoting nowadays. I never heard the word pivot until the pandemic came out and everybody's pivoting so much. Yeah, we should make a dance song. Let's do the pivot. Woo! But, pivot means to kind of like rotate and move and do things a little, change direction a bit. And we have to adapt because circumstances, if we don't adapt, we get stale and stagnant, so we have to. Now, when I was a young leader, you'll have a lot of tools in your tool belt. And I had one tool in mind, in my tool belt. My tool was a club, unfortunately. I was angry. It was going to be my way or the highway. I didn't listen, and I club people. Do more. Get on the phones. Make more calls. And it was bad. Did I get results? Yeah, but there was an expense associated with that. There were some relationships that I, after I, you know, 1-2 years in, that it doesn't have to be like that. You know, you can get better results by building relationships and understanding people, and emotional intelligence quotient started to rise as I learned more and more. Thank you, Kelly Manel, by the way, Goldman expert. But, you know, I adapted and changed the way I am. I had to mend fences down the road with people that, you know, that got the club when I was a younger leader. But I adapted and I changed. I tell you that because if you find yourself as a leader yelling to get your point across, you're on very soft sand. And if you're not listening to your people, and you'll never hear that there may be a better, more effective and efficient way of doing things. So you have to open yourself up. And, you know, when you shine the mirror on yourself and you truly can get introspective and say, I can do better, then you're ready to adapt. So with that, that's my message to you guys. Be open and receptive to change, recognize your shortcomings, and be willing to do something about it. All right, I told you I had a great guest, as I do each and every week. Today, my guest is, I'm really, really proud to say that I have Dr. Jennifer Burnett on the show today. And before we bring her on, I want to tell you a little bit about her and what she brings to the table. And when I introduce people, I read their bio. I ask for a short bio, and I read it. I know Jennifer. I know what Dr. Burnett brings to the dance, but I want to make sure I get her bio correct for all my listeners so that I introduce her properly. Jennifer Burnett is passionate about the opportunity leaders have to genuinely elevate and nurture the potential of people at work. Dr. Burnett draws on her experience of over 25 years as a business leader, talent leader, researcher, and consultant to create talent solutions that positively impact both individuals and the future of the business. Dr. Burnett has held HR executive roles and has been a trusted advisor for organizations in various industries. Her areas of expertise and focus for Caliber Talent Solutions are designing organization-wide talent management strategies, maximizing performance, productivity, engagement, and retention, optimizing talent acquisition and selection solutions, and leveraging analytics to align people and business outcomes. She currently provides guidance to organizational leaders at all levels who are seeking to advance their talent processes, technology, and people practices in order to realize how a strategic view of talent can significantly impact the success of the business. Jennifer, welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Hey, Pete. It's great to be here. Pleasure to join you today.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. I really am. And you know, today I want to talk about recruiting in 2020 and what talent acquisition leaders should do now. Because you and I both know the deck has shuffled from 5 years ago to 2 years ago to 2 months ago. Things have changed quite a bit, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we were talking about how low unemployment was and how difficult it was to fill jobs with qualified people. And today it's very different, at least from an unemployment perspective.
Right, because I know like the three things, the big things that most people were really focusing on just a few years ago were smarter sourcing, improving the candidate experience, and leveraging technology to create efficiency. Is that now, within this current environment, kind of the three big things people are focusing on?
You know, I think it still is, which might be surprising to some people to hear that. But although many things have changed and should change, I think those three areas that you mentioned, so really sourcing and branding, the candidate experience, and the technology, are areas that as talent acquisition leaders, they should still focus on. And the reason reason I say that is because, and we can talk about these a little bit more, but for example, for candidates, it was really the candidates that were changing, not just the environment in which they were in. So they became much more savvy at searching for jobs and researching companies. And I don't think that will change very much. So we still have to be, companies still have to be on their A game to attract the right people.
You know what I noticed? Like when I'm a professional recruiter and I've done this for over 20 years, you know that. And one of the things that I ask people, like when a client tells me I'm trying to fill this role, Pete, I need this level of talent. And we go through all the specifics and I have to ask them, what's the sizzle? And they're like, pardon me, like what's so great about your organization that would attract top talent? And they don't have like a designed branding or some type of an elevator pitch for their company. They might have it for themselves. What do you say about that?
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time, again, over the last few years, but even more importantly now, talking to leaders about that, exactly that. So what is it that will attract people to your company versus your competitor? And what is it about your employment brand that also so tied to your corporate brand? What I think has changed too, Pete, is that given the disruptions from COVID and so many other things, the economy, just the social unrest that we're seeing, is people are watching. People are watching how companies respond. And there's more importance placed on social responsibility, social consciousness than ever before. So companies not only should be thinking of how it is impacting customers, clients, their reputation, but it will definitely impact the way in which potential candidates see them as an employer, the company that they want to join. They're watching and they're paying attention.
You got that right. And you know, it's gone are the days where you didn't have to build a better mousetrap. You just post an ad, you know, in the newspaper. That's how far back I go. And then you're going to get, you know, the fish is going to jump in your boat, so to speak. And it's not like that. Candidates will ask, well, tell me about the company. And they want to know, how do they give back to the communities? And they go to the websites to see, you know, are you thought leaders? Do I see pictures of your team in your t-shirts wearing your colors, walking dogs, or perhaps, you know, understanding what are the hot issues that people want to see that you're part of that community. You know, candidates, the good ones, want to know. And that branding and sourcing is critical.
It is. And in fact, even for companies that might not be doing a lot of hiring right now, this is a great time for them to look at that. Look at their career site. You know, we do have a population, not just the millennials, really all of us have become more technically savvy. We want to watch videos. We want to know what day in the life is going to look like there. And we're seeking out that type of information. And we want it to be very simple to find it. We want it to be accessible on our mobile device. And we want to feel like that company is sort of talking directly to us, you know, and even asking us questions way before I apply for a job. But what is it that's going to draw me in? And that's what I'm seeing really some of the best companies doing.
I'm glad you brought that up because, like I said, it's shocking to me that companies don't have taken that for granted or just don't even consider, you know, their branding in the market. And you know, you want to attract top people, you have to make yourself attractive or your company. Well, let's talk about the candidate experience and how that's changing and perhaps what recruiters should be doing now.
Right. You know, it's again, as I mentioned, you know, we've seen the candidate experience really become a very high priority for companies, but I believe that's mainly because the candidate has changed, their expectations have changed. Like I said, they want something simple, mobile, and personalized. And so the idea for a recruiter of engaging employees, as you know, Pete, you know, as a recruiter, you usually spend a lot of time doing that maybe on your hard to fill jobs or your higher profile candidates that you were trying to nurture that relationship. Now that's really applicable for all jobs. And technology has made it easier to do that. So the recruiters, the more they leverage technology, the more they leverage things like talent communities, movies or, of course, social media. Think about also how for candidates, they do spend a lot of time searching and researching, but jobs come to them too. I know, for example, if anyone who's on LinkedIn, I mean, on a regular basis, you'll get, if you set up your profile well, you'll get all these job suggestions all the time. So jobs are coming to you, and not just the recruiters finding you. So that candidate, they're, you know, they have been in the driver's seat the last few years. I know so many people are unemployed, millions of people are unemployed. They're going to be motivated in different ways, but I still think their expectations will be very similar.
Right. And leveraging technology now, both from the TA leaders and from the candidate side, technology is I mean, it's everything. If I coach up a candidate before they go to the interview, I tell them, learn everything you can about the company. See if they've won awards or major contracts. Look who the players are within the organization. Get an idea of the org chart. Go to LinkedIn and cross-reference. See if you have commonalities with the manager. And conversely, from the talent acquisition, from a technology standpoint, what are some of the new things perhaps that are out there, or something that maybe you could talk to for the talent acquisition leaders of the world?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple of things. Again, sort of what I've seen consistently is similar to what you just talked about. So from, let's say, from the candidate's perspective, they have more accessibility to information, as we've said. There's Glassdoor, LinkedIn, even Facebook. So companies should be aware of that. And that's a little bit still on the branding and engaging your candidate side. But from a talent acquisition or a team lead or recruiter, you're also, there's so many more options today that help you be more efficient in that recruiting process. One thing that, again, was around and people were embracing, but again, during COVID has really escalated, is the use of video interviewing, for example. And there are great tools out there for video interviewing, but even if you don't have, a partnership, let's say, you know, with one of those vendors, you still can access Zoom or WebEx or even FaceTime. Some recruiters are doing interviews on FaceTime. You can still leverage that technology. And again, your candidates are getting used to it as well. And that in and of itself improves the efficiency of your process. You get to talk to people sooner, you get to move them ahead in the process, or you might allow, you know, they can talk to more people than perhaps they could have if it wasn't in person. So something as simple as that again, the pandemic and the inability of people to meet in person, we've looked to technologies like video interviewing and really started using it much more frequently. And I think that will stick, because now that people need it, they're like, why wasn't I doing this before? So,
amen.
That one's not that expensive to add to your toolkit. So.
You know, it's funny because, you know, everybody, you know, as a staffing organization, and I've been doing this over 20 years, we always meet our people. They come in, we fill out paperwork, we have a robust interaction, you know, one-on-one. We might bring another person in. Now I don't want people coming through the front door. We can't, we can't risk the exposure, and it's we do these video interviews. And they work out just fine. And what we've made a list of, what we've learned too, is how to coach people prior to, on both sides. Mm-hmm. I tell my clients during the interview, you and I are actually, people can't see it, but we're on a Zoom conference call right now looking at each other because we can't be in the studio anymore. But, it's the way it is. And it's working out just fine. But I coach people, say, don't sit with the window behind you or you'll be silhouetted and, have the camera, most people have their laptop underneath them below, and you end up looking up, the person's nose, and you lift it up, have it at eye level, all these coaching tips, and we have a list of 20 of them because, we've evolved and changed. Where last year, I think I might have done 3 Skype interviews. This year, we're probably doing 30 interviews, phone interviews like these Zoom and MS Teams, mm-hmm. and we do them almost exclusively this way, So I'm glad you brought
that
up.
It's neat. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've talked about branding and sourcing in 2020. We talked about the candidate experience kind of changing and evolving. We talked about some of the technological advances that we're seeing. But, you know, for many talent acquisition leaders, recruiters, managers, they might not be able to make all these investments in these things right now. Things take money a lot of times. But for those folks, you know, how can you prioritize your changes that you're going to make?
Yeah. You know, this is a great time if the recruiting teams aren't already doing this, is to look at what is it in their practices and their processes really make the biggest impact. And not only an impact from, we as recruiters, it's, you know, a pretty operational process. We like to think of efficiency first, but we're not going to sacrifice, obviously, effectiveness or quality, right? You always want to get the highest quality candidate, the top talent. But being able then to link that to business outcomes or other outcomes that recruiters may or may not be held accountable for, such as retention or performance post-hire or the manager satisfaction. If you're not already measuring some of those things, you should be, because that will then help you circle back and say, this is where we need to put our efforts. Sometimes it's not as obvious. So we mentioned branding. Branding is very important, but it can get pretty expensive. So you have to determine, is that really making the best impact on the quality of your candidates or your candidate flow? If what you have is good enough, then maybe you should focus on another area. So you have to have some measurement in place to kind of keep you honest and also make the case. You're eventually going to have to either make the case for that investment, or people are cutting budgets these days, so in order to keep the budget that you have. So the more you can tie it to those important outcomes, the more leverage that you have to make that investment.
Good. And I want to follow that up with another question, but that music right there tells us we're going to have to take a quick break and listen to this message from our show sponsor. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on the PTJG Broadcast Network.
What's up, Jacksonville? Angie here, partner at Ascendo Resources right here in Jacksonville. Chances are we already know each other because I've been in staffing right here in Jacksonville for 20 years. I'm actually surrounded by a team of staffing professionals that come to work every day and have fun and work hard. If you aren't getting the talent that you need, let me make your life easier. It's one call, 904-479-9610. That's 904-479-9610. And remember, here at Ascendo Resources, we're bringing back the hustle.
Welcome back, hard workers. Wow, that was a great message from Angie and the good folks at Ascendo Resources. Love to have that commercial and have her as my show sponsor, and that's fantastic. All right, you're joining me, guys. We have Dr. Jennifer Burnett, and she is giving us some great talent acquisition, recruiting, technology tips, because we're talking about recruiting in 2020 and what talent acquisition leaders should do now. What should they do differently? And this whole show's been about adapting and changing and, you know, and really creating efficiencies and becoming better in a changing economy. So, I mean, this couldn't be more timely and relevant. You know, we just talked a little bit, Jennifer, about, you know, having to make some cutbacks and trying to find efficiencies. Do you have any advice for those leaders and teams on how to continue to be productive with fewer resources? That's a tough one.
Yeah, it is. You know, I'm seeing and talking to different talent acquisition leaders and recruiting teams, I'm seeing a couple things happening. You know, depending upon, no one has the crystal ball, but it's depending upon when they see their businesses reopening or start hiring again, if they are in a freeze. Others are hiring quite a bit. So it's so different by business, by industry. But the ones who are on pause, I'm seeing them really invest in their recruiters. So how can we upskill our recruiters? Or perhaps there's a place for them to even work in a different area of HR. For example, some companies are calling it reboarding when you bring employees back. So some employees who have gone to work from home or might have even been furloughed for a while, and you have to bring them back into sort of the flow of the business. business. Recruiters, because they're often responsible for onboarding too, they're a great resource to work for on this reboarding, which is a brand new concept for most of us.
Right.
So getting creative and how to use your resources and doing everything you can to keep them, because when things do open up again, you want to really hit the ground running. You know, you want to still have your team in place. And if you've taken care of them and helped them grow and develop, you're going to have a dedicated team there.
Good. What other practices should talent acquisition leaders and recruiters be thinking about now?
Yeah, I mentioned reboarding again. So, you know, when I think about what are we maybe not thinking of that we should, reboarding is a good one. Another thing is just the talent mobility and careers. So in a time of uncertainty and disruption, your employees, although we tend to think, oh, well, they're not going to leave because, you know, things are so uncertain. That's not always the case, because people want to know that they have a future in your organization. So again, recruiters are a great resource for helping the rest of HR think through career mobility of your existing employees. What's
Wonderful.
The next role for them?
Right.
And then the other thing I'd mention is analytics, which I mentioned before. You know, make sure you've got good measurements and analytics in place.
I've seen sizable organizations that not only did they not have analytics, but they have no real talent management system or applicant tracking system. So, you know, they're trying to put everything in an Excel spreadsheet and it's not as searchable. And, you know, so many things fall through the cracks, and technology is something that can just get people super organized. But, you know what I want to talk about real quick is Caliber Talent Solutions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about Caliber Talent Solutions and some of the great services that you provide your clients.
Yeah, thanks. What I do is help the clients really take that broader view of what's happening in HR, in talent, whether it's talent acquisition, talent management, performance, development, and, you know, look sort of across the whole spectrum and tie that to the strategic vision of the organization, and then help them prioritize where things may need to improve or change. You mentioned technology. Sometimes that's sort of the go-to place, or I'll have clients say, hey, we need a new system for X, Y, and Z. But really, when you kind of take a step back, you realize you need to address some of your processes, or perhaps you need to adjust the skill set on your team before that technology goes into place. So by sort of taking a broader view, I can help them identify what that plan is and work through the plan. And, you know, most importantly, that they're not only, we've been talking about recruiting a lot, so not that they're attracting and hiring people, but again, as I said, that you're retaining folks, they're productive, they're developing, and that they're engaged in your organization, because at the end of the day, that's really what helps the business run and be successful.
Well, great. You know, and I kind of thinking right here, I know a lot of organizations that I'd love to call my clients and folks that I work with, you know, both large and small, that have their internal talent acquisition team, talent management team, their learning systems consultants, and kind of, I would love to have you come out to some of these and just, you know, do a presentation and tell these folks, you know, just sit down with them, give them some value-added information, some Q&A to get them thinking. Would you be willing to do that with some of the folks?
Good. Yeah, sometimes it's just, some simple things to get the ideas flowing. And then, you know, scale and say, what can you do in the short term? And what do you want to do in the long term? And go from there.
Good. Well, let's partner up a little bit. Let's get some contact information out for you, Jennifer, if folks want to learn more about Caliber Talent Solutions, or they want to reach out to you directly. How do they do that?
Yeah. So two ways. I do have a website. So it's calibertalentsolutions.com, or also my email is Jennifer, JennifeR, .Burnett, BURNETT, at calibertalentsolutions.com. So either way, my phone number is on the website too. So.
All right. Well, I highly recommend everybody reaches out to you and engages you because I'm learning a lot. I'm going to hit you with the last question. I ask all my guests this, and I know you've listened to my past shows, so you know what's coming right now. If you had a time machine and you could go back in time and meet 19, 20-year-old Jennifer, and you just put your hand on your own shoulder and say, Jennifer, let me give you this bit of advice. What advice would you give your 19-year-old self?
Yeah, this is timely. My daughter just turned 20 on Tuesday, so what have I given? I might not have given her this advice. I would give myself the advice to just slow down. I feel like at that age, you're just, at least I was, just moving on to the next thing. You know, you're setting your goals, kind of setting up, you know, where you want to go in life. But at the same time, you should just pause and enjoy just the time that you do have and enjoy the people in your life and explore a little bit, learn and explore.
Oh, outstanding. Thank you so much for coming and spending some time with us today on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy, Dr. Jennifer Burnett.
Thanks, Pete. It's been fun. Great talking to you.
All right, and now we're at one of my favorite parts of the entire show. This is where we get a leadership lesson from Coach Larry. And Coach Larry gives us tips and advice to help all managers to become effective leaders. With no further ado, let's get this week's leadership lesson from Coach Larry.
When I first became a leader, I thought that my role was to have all the answers and be the tiebreaker when the team couldn't make a decision. It wasn't until I learned how to be a leader as coach did I truly learn what it meant to lead. Today, I'm going to share with you 5 misconceptions about being a leader as coach. And this comes from the book Leader as Coach from Daniel Peterson and Mary D. Hicks, both of whom are PhDs, so they have that going for them. Misconception number 1, coaching takes a lot of time. Yes, it does. Well, I guess that isn't a misconception then, is it? It does take time in the short run, but in the long run, it saves time. How much time a day do you spend answering other people's questions? How about answering emails? Sending emails? Let's say that it's at least 2 hours a day, just to be conservative. If you are like most people, it feels good to be needed. It feels good to answer those questions. If it doesn't feel good to be needed, then I think you have some other issues. Coaching is not about answering other people's questions. Coaching is about helping people develop their own capabilities, answer their own questions. Coaching builds team capacity. Imagine if you had a team full of highly developed performers. Chances are you would be spending those 2 hours on coaching and leading as opposed to answering questions that other people should know the answer to already. Misconception number 2, coaching is about fixing problem behaviors. Yes, it is. Again, not quite a misconception, but coaching is about so much more. It's true. We need to coach people who are not performing. We need to help them figure out why and get them on the right track. But what about your top performers? If we ignore our top performers or simply keep leaning more and more on them, then they're going to become disengaged and even quit. The question for coaches when it comes to top performers is, how can you coach them so that they can become even greater versions of who they are and become even more effective? You will get a lot of bang for the coaching buck when you help people utilize their strengths to the full potential. Misconception number 3, coaching means giving feedback and advice. If I told you, you know, you shouldn't eat that, or you should run every morning like my friend Pete does, how does that land on you? Probably not very well. Nobody likes to be told what to do, especially when that other person is right. Coaching is about asking questions so people can learn something new about themselves and identify their most important action steps. It's far more powerful than giving some advice. Advice is easy. Getting insight through questioning is not. Misconception number 4. Coaching is the same as mentoring. Well, coaching would be called mentoring if it were the same, wouldn't it? Well, mentors tend to share their experiences, their network. They leverage the organization to help the person in their careers. Coaches don't need to have all those experiences in the same industry, roles, or organizations that a mentor does. Coaches should be experts at coaching, however. My friend Greg Thompson, and president of Blue Point Leadership Development, says, "I'm not a surgeon, but I can coach surgeons. I cannot, however, mentor them because I haven't been a surgeon." Misconception number 5, coaching is just a fad. Leaders play many different roles. They set goals. They delegate. They give advice, give feedback. They do performance reviews. They communicate, communicate, and communicate. According to Deloitte, more than any other leadership tool in the leader's toolkit, coaching has the greatest impact on employee engagement and employee productivity. Why? Because coaching is about helping people find their way to becoming the person or the employee they are capable of becoming. Harvard asked hundreds of retired CEOs what they are most proud of about their career. The most common answer given was developing the people who reported to them. It wasn't taking the stock from 10 to 1,000 or creating amazing products or amazing clients. It was that they developed amazing leaders in the organization. That was their legacy. So you might be thinking, how do I become a leader coach? How do I help others become a leader coach? At Mendoza and O'Brien, we offer virtual and in-person workshops on becoming a leader coach. And through my experience, I've discovered that coaching is not one of those things that you can learn by reading a book, although I suggest you read a coaching book. But coaching is learned by taking training, practicing coaching, and getting feedback. And we do all three of those in our Leader as Coach workshop. So please reach out to me if you are interested in bringing one of our workshops to your organizations. And for more information and a description of our workshops, go to www.mendozaandobrien.com.
Oh, another gem from Coach Larry. I highly recommend that you engage Coach Larry O'Brien. He's real easy to reach. You just go to LinkedIn and find Larry O'Brien, and you send him an invitation to connect, and connect with Larry. You'll be the better for it. Or you can go to his website, MendozaandOBrien.com. Mendoza and O'Brien. Don't forget, Coach Larry delivers his programs in both English and Spanish. And he is freaking awesome. Another favorite part of my show is coming up. And this is where we get our Boston update from Boston Danny. And Boston Danny, as you may know, if you listen to the show, if you're a regular, I've known Boston Danny for over 35 years. Heck, we went to boot camp together. We left Boston, Massachusetts, MEPS Corps, and went to boot camp together many years ago. He proudly served our country. And then he's been, he told me back then, I said, "What are you going to do with your life, Danny?" He said, "I want to get into construction because I want to build stuff. And I want to, at the end of the day, turn around, look over my shoulder and see the fruits of that hard labor. So whatever I do, I'm going to be in construction." And he has. He's, you know, fire retardant sprinkler systems for E.M. Duggan up in Dugan, I think it is, up in Boston. And he's been there for 30 years. He's a great guy. He's going to brag about his sports teams. His wife, his grandson, Desmond, too, and he's wonderful. So I'm sure Cam Newton's going to be brought up in one way, shape, or form. But the other thing Boston Danny does is he gives a shout-out. So if you have somebody you would like to recognize, maybe they have a birthday, an anniversary, they accomplish something special, and you just want to recognize and reward them, just send me an email, pete@petethejobguy.com. I'll put that message in Boston Danny in his hands, and he'll give you a wicked piss of shout out like only Boston Danny can. With no further ado, let's get this week's leadership lesson from let's get this week's Boston update from Boston Danny.
Hello, Jacksonville, Danny here. Well, this weekend wasn't as bad as last weekend for the weather. Thank goodness it broke. Last weekend was pretty brutal. Cheryl and I were lucky we were down the Cape, and it was much nicer down there. But up in Boston, it was pretty sweltering, 90-plus degrees. But this weekend's worked out pretty good. You know, we stayed home this weekend. It was a little weird down the Cape last week because of everything that was going on with the COVID. But, you know, people are trying their best and getting through it. So this weekend, we're just hanging around. I got a pool in our backyard, which has been a great thing. You know, you can only use it about 3 months out of the year. You know, for most of the year, it's just a big icicle in the yard. But, you know, it works out good. You know, the baby, it's new to him. The grandson, he's been loving it. We got him out there splashing around and doing our things out there. So it's good. You know, it's nice to stick around. A couple little cookouts, staying in our bubble, you know, just keeping it together and trying to just stay safe. But, you know, a couple good things we got to look forward to. The Red Sox opened their season Friday night. We're looking good. I got good feelings for him. It's too bad we don't have Mookie Betts, but we wish him well out there in La La Land with all the money that he's going to be making, and hope he does well, which I know we will. The kid was phenomenal. I'm not happy that we let go of him, but, you know, the best thing, you know, on the news front there for the sports is Cam Newton's in town. He showed up Wednesday, so he's down there getting to know Belichick, and we're going to see how that works out. But, you know, that's a good ad for us. Cam's something else. We, you know, Stidham, we pinning our hopes on him. But, you know, if Cam can get it done, there's a lot of dynamics there. He can make it a lot of fun for us this year. You know, and hopefully we can get to some games. I'm really looking forward to some Red Sox games. But it's just nice to be able to listen to it in the backyard, even though they got, you know, canned crowd noises and everything. So hope everyone's doing well down there. And, you know, get Peter and I our shout-outs. And I want to wish some wicked happy birthdays out there. We do anniversaries, whatever you like, folks. But you know what I say, it's your birthday, so do something nice, even for yourself, if nobody else will. So I'd like to wish a wicked happy birthday to Peter Tenike, to Kerry Monroe Hanley, Mike Buscanara, and Greta Hackney. Have a great day, folks. Have fun and do something. And, you know, let's remember our first responders, our doctors and nurses, our police, firefighters, and, of course, our military, retired and active duty. Let's give them the shout-outs and all their props, too. Jacksonville, stay safe, brothers and sisters. Peter, I'll be in touch. I'll be talking to you.
And another gem from the world-famous Boston Danny. Oh, my God. Boston Danny, you're killing me. That's a riot. All right. Guys, I want to thank my guest today, Jennifer Burnett. Dr. Jennifer Burnett, man, she had us thinking, boy, there's so many things that we can do differently when it comes to recruiting in 2020 and talent acquisition and leveraging technology and creating efficiencies, branding and sourcing. She gave us a lot to think about, and I hope she puts you on a better path. And I would highly recommend you engage her or reach out to her directly. She's at Caliber Talent Solutions. Pull up the website, calibertalentsolutions.com, and reach out to her directly. She's phenomenal. You'll be the better for it. All right, guys, this is the PTJG Broadcast Network. If you have a podcast that deals specifically with, that addresses employment issues, talent acquisition, leadership, careers, any of that, and you want to be a part of the PTJG Network, send me an email, pete@petethejobguy.com. And, you know, we'll take a look. Josh and I are evaluating different partnerships right now, and we're looking at some really good ones, and we're looking to build out the PTJG network. If you're looking to launch a podcast and you need help and you need production assistance, you need tips and evaluate all that other great stuff, pete@petethejobguy.com. We'll see how we can help you out. Guys, you've just listened to the show. I'm glad you did. We're going to be coming back next week. I have a great, phenomenal guest like I always do. But it's time to sign out for now. You've just listened to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on the PTJG Broadcast Network.